Hallelujah. How's everybody? Blessed and highly flavored. Praise God. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice because we have a choice. The power to choose. How many times do you choose miserable, oppressed, instead of joy? The power to choose. Everyone say, I have the power to choose. Okay, now you're accountable. You just admitted it. You had the power to choose, man. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 12, would you go there, please? Praise God. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Sometimes we need to slam into an area of such reality. You know, one of the things that the enemy always loves to do is take your identity. And the world likes to clone you according to the ways of the world. And we're supposed to be cloned like Jesus. It says that we awaken his image and likeness. Well, you don't have to wait to awaken. That means die and awaken there. We need to be awakened right now in his image and likeness. And one of the things that the enemy does is steal your identity of who you are. When you are born again in the Spirit, you have a new DNA. And that DNA is sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is the only way that you can get into eternity is by the acknowledgement of that DNA. And one of the things that the enemy wants to do is corrupt you so your DNA changes. The word tells us that we need to cleanse our spirit, our soul, and our body because it can be contaminated. When contamination comes, corruption comes. And when what begins to happen is people begin to drift and they begin to float and drift into the arena of the world for fulfillment instead of running to God. They run from God. And the reason for this is because they're losing their identity. You know, even Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. He wanted to feed his flesh instead of his spirit. He sold his birthright. So don't let anybody tell you you can't lose salvation. Never. That is a lie. That once saved, always saved is a lie from the devil. Anybody can give up their salvation at any time. It is a gift, and you can do whatever you want with it. Esau sold his birthright. Does everybody get it? Remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. I don't care how long you've been serving Jesus. It's not always how you begin. It's how you what? End. Amen. And that's something that we need to take to heart in reality. There are so many people that think they're going home and they're going to be very upset when they find out that the Lord says, I don't know you. You practice lawlessness. Why? Because he doesn't associate with sin. Amen? That's why the blood always goes before the spirit. So when somebody commits something that's ungodly, they repent. Why? Because the blood washes them and it gives access to the spirit. Without repentance, there's no access to the spirit. And people walk around going, well, I haven't sinned in 40 years. Snap. You just sinned now. You lied. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception. The world is ruled by deception. People are deceived, staying out of fellowship, not assembling. That is the first sign of drift. That's the first sign of drift, lack of assembling. First sign. What follows that? Lack of prayer. Let me tell you, God don't speak to someone that doesn't seek. Are you listening? God don't speak to someone that don't seek. You'll try and get information from someone else because you can't get it yourself. Hello? He doesn't speak to someone that doesn't seek. Listen, divine order is divine order because there's a purpose. It's a protocol by the commander in chief. This is a military operation. It's not a religious act. It is vitally important that we come to the reality that this is a military. Has everybody got it? And there is a war going on, an unseen war that's actually happening, and you're involved in it. And if you're not in the battle, you will become a casualty. Has everybody got it? Look at this says here in verse 7. What does it say? What's the first two words? And what? War. Hello. And what? War. And war broke out where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not what? Prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. The what? The serpent of what? Old. Called the what? Devil and Satan. He's got multiple names. He tries to change IDs, you know. Who deceives the what? Who what? He does what? He deceives what? The whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. So there was a fight going on, wasn't there? And that fight is still continuing. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Believe me, people are still fighting for themselves, and they're living in the kingdom of self instead of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of self is ruled by Satan's kingdom. It's called the Matrix. It's a reality. They even did a video on it. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe. Let me tell you what woe means. Without eternity. Woe. Without eternity. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows it is a what? Short time. How many of y'all know the time's running out? That's why we're here. We're not here because of some religious Bible study. We're here to be trained for what's getting ready to happen. Now, this is very powerful because something happens here. It says, now when a dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth. Now, listen. Right now, he reigns. He's got two thrones. He's got a throne established in the earth, but his main throne is what we call in the second heaven. And there's going to be a time when all the demonic forces, all of his kingdom is going to be forced from the spirit realm into the physical realm. And that's what he's talking about right now. Let me tell you, people are going to freak when they begin to see these things. And when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, the physical realm, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, which is associated with Israel. So everybody got it. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for times and times and a half from the presence of the serpent. That's 3.5 years. This is known as Great Tribulation. Now, in this is also representation. The woman is also known as the body of Christ. Why? Because every day the body of Christ is birthing the male child. Is everybody with me? Every day, every time somebody comes into the kingdom, they're born again of the Spirit. Why? Because the male child represents the character of Christ. He who's in Christ is a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. And it says here in verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, there is a war. Where there is a kingdom, there is a king. Where there is a kingdom, there are citizens. And there's also military. There are many individuals who are called to be. Every believer, I believe, is called to be a soldier. Because you and I were sent into this realm to fulfill a mission. Does everybody understand that? We were sent into this realm to fulfill, not a mission for self. We came into this realm to fulfill his mission, not our mission. We're not here to fulfill our destiny. We're here to fulfill his destiny. Does everybody get this? And in this arena of fulfilling destiny is so that you and I become fully Christ-like. Fully Christ-like. Character, presence, thoughts, words. Christ-like. Separated from the world. Sanctified for his purpose and his will. Remember, we are called to battle. Amen? Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system and rescue those who've been taken captive. Isn't that what Jesus did? You know, didn't he go into the places where sinners were? Amen? He went there to what? Rescue them. Paul said something very powerful. He said, I became many things that I could save many people. In this, it's vitally important that we understand that this war, where there's a war, there's an army. And that's as a spiritual fight. A spiritual fight. Go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Everyone say, I'm an enforcer of the eternal things in this realm. In verse 6 it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what? The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, what? Mighty. Now that's pretty powerful, isn't it? A son was given. So was Jesus God Almighty? Yes. God took a part of himself, called him son, but it was still him. Why? Because he lowered himself to come into this realm. It says here, okay, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. What's the next one? Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be what? No end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with what? Judgment and justice from the time forward, even forevermore. The zeal of the what? Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I want to explain something to you. The word host means army. It's a Hebrew word. It's spelled S-A-B-A-O-T-H, Sabaoth. It means army. So when you see the word says Lord of hosts, it means the Lord of the army. Does everybody get it? It means Lord of what? The army. Go to Revelation 17. So when you got born again, you enlisted in the army. Hello. God didn't send you here to become a pew sitter, an usher, or in the choir. He sent you here because you're in Holy Ghost Boot Camp Officers Training School. You're to go kick butt on devils. You're to be armed and dangerous. When you walk in rooms, they should begin to shake. But you got to know who you are, because they know who you are. They know if you know who you are. They know. Oh, yeah. Revelation, what did I say to go? 17? Good. Verse 12. I'm not going to get into all of this, but I just want to share a couple things here. It says, the 10 horns. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. The beast here is a fallen angel. It's known as Satan's kingdom, the beast. Behind them is fallen angels. It's also known as a kingdom. Each fallen angel in the arena has a kingdom. They're known as beasts. And these here 10 horns will be the 10 kingdoms that will support the Antichrist. There will be alliances with the Antichrist. In verse 13, it says, these are of one mind, and they give their power and authority to who? The beast. These will make war with the Lamb. Hello? And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is what? Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, let me explain to you about Lord of lords. Lords are high-ranking individuals, and kings are high-ranking individuals. Kings are over kingdoms, aren't they? And then there's lords. Those are like lieutenant commanders and so forth in a military. So he is lord over all operations. He is king over all operations. Does everybody get it? And those who are with him are what? Called. Called, that means invited. Chosen means tested. And faithful means trained. Write it. I'm going to check everybody's notes when you leave here tonight. Hallelujah. Listen, what you learn here, you must be able to teach. If you're not grabbing hold of what you're getting here to teach it, then you're in the wrong place. Go find religion then. Didn't do us any good before, did it? If you are not here to receive, to learn, to teach, to give, then you're in the wrong place. Does everybody understand? Don't waste your time. Just remember, when the time comes, don't take the mark. That's all I can tell you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The word called means invited. The word chosen means tested. And the word faithful means trained. Why? Because God knows you're trained now. He can trust you to infiltrate. He knows you won't be moved. There are still people who are walking in called. There are still people who are walking in chosen. And they could be believers for 20 or 30 years. They've never reached faithful yet because they've refused the complete training. They want to drift and do it the way they want to do it instead of the way God's doing it. You know, when you go into the military, you're trained according to the way they want you to be trained for a specific purpose. Amen? That's what he does. That's how he operates. Everything's a military operation. And Joshua 5, Joshua. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you said, Lord, I give you my life. It's amazing how many people take it back as soon as they gave them their life. That it wasn't a one-day event, Lord, I give you my life today. But at 3 o'clock, I need it back because I have a meeting. Some people give their lives to the Lord Sunday morning till Monday morning. Sunday afternoon. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. This is a lifetime commitment. When you gave your life to the Lord, you said you wanted a new life. That means there's no other options. There is no option. You're either His or you're not. Amen? Does everybody get this? You're either His or you're not. That's it. He says, if you grab hold of me, I'll grab hold of you. You let go of me, I'm going to let go of you. Amen? Joshua 5, verse 13. Would you read it with me? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as what? Commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And what did Joshua do? Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Who do you think that was that called himself commander of the Lord's army? It was Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Yeah. Verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is what? Hallelujah. And Joshua did so. Didn't he do that to Moses? Take your sandals off. You are what? Holy ground. Do you understand? The Lord says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. Jesus is the commander. So if he's the commander of an army, well then who are the soldiers? So don't you think it's time we started acting like soldiers instead of wimpy Christians? Getting caught up in oppression, grumbling, complaining, blaming everybody else for your own poop. Hello? Learning how to fight instead of run. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. Come on, we're going to get a little deeper in this. Some people are thinking, man, I didn't come here for this. Oh, God sent you here for this. Surprise. You know, if you'd have known what God had for you, you wouldn't have done it. Oh, glory. Where did I say to go? Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 10. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Joel chapter 2 and verse 10. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. The stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before His what? His army. For His camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And He relents from doing harm. When? When we return to Him. So it says here that the Lord gives voice before His army, and they are strong ones. The Word says, those who know their God shall do great exploits. He speaks to me and you. There will be a day that the Lord comes, and many will not be able to endure. Amen? The Lord gives voice to His army. He speaks to me and you. Psalm 103. So when the devil begins to torment you, just give him your name, rank, and serial number. And don't give him anything more. And then cast him out. Eventually, he isn't going to touch you because he burns every time he touches you. He'll be afraid of you. You know, so many people call me and they'll say, man, I'm having struggle with this and lust. And I see this person. And I said, man, every time you see him, pray. If you're lusting over a man or a woman, and you just can't keep your eyes off, you know what you do every time? You pray, Lord, I just bless them. Lord, heal them, deliver them, anoint them. Believe me, the devil will stop doing it. Raise them up to be a warrior in your kingdom. he's going to back right off. Slam! I ain't telling that person that no more. When the devil tells you, you can't do that, tell him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, you don't have to convince yourself. You got to decree the word. Get your eyes off yourself. And take the eternal world that's still cruising and holding everything together. Take it out of the spirit realm, speak it, and bring it into the physical realm. Load up that Holy Ghost bazooka and hit him between the eyes. Hallelujah. God has not given you a spirit of fear. The devil has. But power, love, and sound mind. People say to me, oh, they're only shy. No, he's got a spirit of fear, man. Shyness is fear. Hello? Hello? Shyness is fear. Why? Because if you ain't bold, you're a fear. People that are afraid are still surviving. They're still fighting for their life. Well, first of all, if you gave your life, you don't have one. See, the devil can't kill something that's already dead. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Amen? You know, many people are afraid to confront because of fear. A spirit of intimidation is called fear. Oh, I just don't want to. And don't get me wrong, there's a time to and a time not to. You got to be led by the Spirit because those who are led by the Spirit are sons and of God, right? Psalm 103, verse 15. Let's speak it. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. On those who what? Fear. That's a reverence, honor, and respect. And his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandment to what? To do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you his saints, who excel in strength and who what? Do his word. You know, when you speak the word, the angels are gone. Heeding the voice of his what? Well, who's going to speak his word now? So who's heeding the voice of the word of the Lord now? The angels. Do you know that one angel can kill 185,000 people? Do you know you have a legion of them? So what are you worried about? Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Verse 21. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. Hello. Bless the Lord, all you his what? What does it say? Army. You ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Excel to do his word. We are the army. I cannot emphasize this enough. This is a military operation, not a religious one. The Bible says that God knew you before you came. You were sent into this realm. The moment you were conceived, you lost all memory and inheritance. You walked around this world saying, who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Until you were born again in the Spirit and things begin to change. You found identity. Now the enemy's always going to try to get you, just like Esau, to exchange your ID. Sell your birthright. That's his job, and he does it well. Isaiah 13. Lord of hosts is the name of this teaching, training session. Lord of hosts. Lord of what? Armies. Armies of God. We are in the army. Drafted. It's called accepted, adopted. When you were adopted, you were drafted. Isaiah 13. Are you ready for this? Okay. Start at verse 2. Isaiah 13, 2, lift up a banner on the high mountain. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of the multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. This is what he's doing now. He's invited, he's testing, and he's training. He's inviting, he's testing, and he's training. They come from a far country. Every one of us came from another country. Amen? From the end of the earth. The Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Well, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Come on, read it with me. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another, and their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he will destroy its sinners from it, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. The moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold and a man more than gold wedge of Ophrah. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth will move out of its her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. It shall be as a hunted gazelle and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people. Everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver. And as for gold, they will not delight in it. See, many people think their silver and gold is going to rescue them when time comes. The Bible says you're going to throw it in the street, it ain't going to mean nothing. People are storehousing gold. It ain't going to mean nothing. You know why? Because you can't eat gold and you can't drink gold. And you're not going to buy anything with gold because there's no one who's going to share it. Verse 18. Also, their bows will dash the young men to pieces. They will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldeans proud, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will an Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds. Now we know that this hasn't happened yet. Does everybody understand that? Because the day of the Lord has not come yet. But when it comes, there'll be no more Egypt. There'll be no more Babylon. All of these areas will be destroyed. People have no idea that the pyramids are associated with the fallen angels and hybrids and so forth. It's all an exaltation of Satan's kingdom. Verse 21, it says, but wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will camper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and the jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. What side do you want to be on? Amen? Think about it. What side do you want to be on? Isaiah 5. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies. Isaiah 5, verse 13. Would you go read this with me, please? Therefore, my people have what? They have what? They have what? They have been taken captive because of what? Because they have no knowledge. Is this knowledge from college? School? Spiritual understanding. They don't make what's unseen to become seen. They rely on everything that's tangible because they're living in the matrix and living in the kingdom of self. See, when you live in the kingdom of God, you expose everything that's unseen. Amen? It says, their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell, has enlarged itself. Why? Because these people are being destroyed for lack of understanding of spiritual things. Hell has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down, each man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God, who is holy, shall be hallowed in righteousness. Hell is enlarging even now. But I can tell you 100% guarantee, there isn't one person that's in hell right now that's not a believer. But it's too late. Everyone in hell now believes, but it's too late. Isaiah 8. Now, this may sound very crazy, what's going on. And you might be sensing a fear. And I hope that, I surely do hope, that this fear will scare the hell out of you and make room for heaven. Amen? This is a reverence fear, an honor. This is a fear that we need to hold on to. Because when you fall from reverence to God, you better grab hold of this one, the one that can destroy you. But you say, God's love. Yes, He does love us. He gives everyone. He has a desire that no one perish. We destroy ourselves by what we do. Why? Because what you sow is what you what? Reap. Isaiah 8, verse 11, "For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of the army, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait on the Lord, who hides His face from the house of Jacob. I will hope in Him. Here am I, the child whom the Lord has given me." We are what? Come on, say it. We are what? Signs and wonders in Israel. But you and I are signs and wonders to the world. From the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. We are the signs and wonders. We are the extension. Ephesians chapter 4. We are the signs and wonders of the army of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Is reality coming? So when you hear the voice of the Lord, just stand up and salute. Yes, sir. You know that many times when I'm going into jail, I'll see somebody and we end up saluting one another. Why? Because we're in the army. It's habit sometimes. Somebody will say hello, I salute them. Because this is a military operation. Does everybody get this? It truly is a military, eternal military operation. We should be saluting one another. Verse 11, is everybody there? 4:11, let's speak it together. "And He Himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." For what? The equipping of the saints. Is that called training? Yeah. "For the work of ministry." Well, that's for infiltration, isn't it? "For the edification of the body of Christ." Now look, here's a good one. "Till we all come to" what? "The unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to" a what? "Perfect man." A perfect man, a trained soldier. A perfect man is a trained soldier. Has everybody got it? "To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Jesus, the commander-in-chief of the military, was the prime example for me and you on how to walk. He says this, look at, He wants us to be a perfect man as a trained warrior, a trained soldier, as the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, "that we should no longer be" what? "Children." Children. What do children do? They lie. Me, 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 me. You put two kids together, they're going to fight over something, and they're going to both say that they're theirs, but I'm the one that bought it. They're lazy sometimes. Sometimes they're all over the place. Children. So that we are not children, where self is priority. Children, self is priority. Does everybody get it? "Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine." Let me tell you, there are people who are flying from one doctrine to another. And they're flying from one doctrine to another to where it fits them. Fits self. Oh, hallelujah. Then they blame everybody else anyways. "That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may" what? "Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joint knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." Causes what? Causes what? Growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everyone say, I'm being trained.
I'm being trained.
1 Samuel 17. Training for reigning. Right now we're being trained to battle, to just get through. There are people falling right now. There are people dying, going to hell right now. There are believers who have sold their birthright right now. We're to be enforcers to drive out darkness. Does anybody believe sickness is darkness? Amen. How about addiction? Amen. Lust? Amen. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is darkness. It needs to be driven out. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 4. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits. 6 cubits, which is about 9 to 11 feet tall in span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, which is around 125 pounds. I'm glad I wasn't his tailor. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and the shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle?" Now I want you to know that Goliath was known as a giant. He was what we call an offspring of the fallen angels that went into women and produced offsprings. They were called Nephilims. Some of them were, at the time, did you ever hear the word titans? Well, there were titans. They were 35 feet tall, some of them. They have skeletons of them and everything. But anyways, we're not going to get into that today. And the tribe of the Philistines were known as giants. And why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Where do you think the word Palestine came from? Hello. And you are servants of Saul. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. And what? And you will serve us. And the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel to this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then here comes this shepherd boy. But he was anointed. See, battles are not won in the physical. They're won in the spirit. David was anointed. Go to verse 40. And so David took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. And he was only a young, ruddy, and good-looking kid. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog?" You know what the word dog means in the Bible? Demonized person. "Am I a dog?" David should have said yes. "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied today. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this I will give to the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in" where? Israel. That there's a God where? In Israel. Does everybody see this? David did not... Now, this guy was huge. Could have crushed him in the physical. See, because so many times people are looking in the physical. They're really not looking in the spiritual. They get angry with someone because they say something to them. They get offended, not realizing it ain't them. It's the spirit that used them. That's why Jesus says, forgive. Because it isn't them. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, look at these guys who were piercing him, spitting on him, accusing him, beating him, everything. He's on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Why? Because they're blinded. Have mercy upon them. They can't see. Didn't Jesus come to bring sight to the blind? That's where you and I were blinded. We need to have eyes to see spiritually because our fight is spiritual, not physical. And too many people get caught up in protecting themselves. Well, you don't know what's her name said to me or his sent to me. Who cares? Shut up and stand up. Become a warrior. Fight spiritually. Don't let compromise, complacency, and laziness. And don't be dictated by your stinking feelings. They're the most dangerous people. God cannot trust anyone that lives by how they feel. Never has and never will. Your feelings are peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hello? Everybody okay? You're here to be trained, right? Praise God. Welcome to Holy Ghost Boot Camp. Officers Training School. Philippians chapter 2. Praise God. We got a wonderful package teaching called Freedom Warrior. Freedom what? Freedom Fighter. Go to Eternal Library and get it. It's cool. EternalLibrary.org. Freedom Fighter. Philippians 2. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? We haven't run out yet, so praise God. You can unlock the door now. Verse 25. Let's speak this together. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Yet I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and what? Fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So he called him a what? Fellow what? Soldier. And if people were beginning to acknowledge people as soldiers, we need to look at each other as soldiers. We need to be armed and dangerous, dressed with the full armor. Ready in season and out. Amen? Go to 2 Timothy 2. You know, we need to stir ourselves up in the Spirit. Do you understand that? That's what tongues is wonderful for. Stirring yourself up in the Spirit. Stirring yourself up in the most holy faith. You know, it's like, I used to have a Harley. I had to kickstart. Oh, man, that thing used to kill me. Threw me over the handlebars a few times. Thank God I got one now to push the button and it starts, you know. But man, we used to have to kickstart that thing. And when it finally got started, man, I was already sweating and everything else. But you know, we got to kickstart ourselves. When you get up in the morning, I know you're looking for that coffee and whatever. And just start praying in the Spirit. I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you how you feel. Well, I'm waiting to wake up. Don't wake up. Pray in the Spirit. Then wake up. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful. Trained. When you see the word faithful, it means trained. Faithful men who will be able to what? Do what? Come on. To do what? So is a soldier, trained soldier, teach? That's right. Verse 3. You therefore must what? Endure hardship as a what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now look at this. No one engaged in what? Are you in warfare? Are you in warfare? Amen. You ever become a casualty? You know why? Because you weren't in warfare. Once you get out of warfare, I can guarantee you'll be a casualty. The enemy can't wait till you let your guard down. He just waits. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a what? Soldier. See, your first desire should be fulfilling the kingdom of God and the will of God. See, a trained soldier is manifesting God's will. That's what his purpose is. We live for him. We labor to him. It doesn't mean we can't be blessed in things and have nice things. It doesn't mean we can't be married. But never let marriage interfere with your calling. Never. Is everybody all right? Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Why? Because the anointing that was on Paul healed. There was a powerful testimony of a gentleman named Shambach. He was an evangelist, and he went around doing healing services all over. And this woman came up to him one day, and just before a service, and gave him a piece of candy. And he looked at it and said, "What?" She goes, "Would you put it in your pocket for me?" He thought it was for him to eat. "No, put it in your pocket for me." So he put it in his pocket, didn't think anything of it. After the service, the woman came up to him. She said, "Can I have my candy back?" He's like, "What?" And he realized that the candy was still in his pocket. He pulled the candy out and gave it to her. So about 6-8 months later or something like that, I don't know, maybe a year later, he came back in the same town again. And he did the service, and a woman came up to him afterwards and said, "I want to introduce you to my sister." He said, "Oh, hi, how are you?" And then so forth. She said, "You know that piece of candy I gave you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, my sister has been in a mental institution for multiple years. They did not let me bring anything to her. The only thing I can bring her was candy." She ate the candy and got totally delivered and healed and walked out of there pure, sane, and this is her. See, we've got to begin to look beyond the ordinary, temporary, and natural. And we've got to begin to look that there is nothing impossible to those who believe. All things are possible. Everything is possible. That there's life and death in the power of your tongue. But there's an area where you and I must maintain position so that the anointing flows. There's nothing holding back the anointing. Amen? And so God worked unusual miracles through Paul with all these handkerchiefs. In verse 13, would you read it with me? "Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.'" Hello. That's like a heathen trying to use the name of the Lord. Somebody that's not saved. Now what happened? "Also there were" what? "Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you, homie?' Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, this became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And the fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came out confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver." Why? Because they saw a demon come out. Does everybody get it? And chase the exorcist. Trying to use my dad's name. It don't work, man. He better be your dad for you to use his name. See, you and I are the occupying force here in this realm. Occupy. The Bible says occupy. It doesn't mean twiddle your thumbs and stay busy. It means occupy. Force out darkness. Drive out darkness. That's what you and I are to do, to occupy or to constantly take land. We take land by taking bodies and removing spirits out of them. And then the Spirit of God comes in them, and they go and take places. Homes and whatever, wherever you're living, you're occupying. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. Verse 1. "And you he made alive who were" what? "Dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the" what? "Sons of disobedience." Among" — is that a demon? Yeah. "Principality that rules, controlling demonic forces. among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in what? The lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So is an unbeliever a child of wrath? Yes. How about a believer that's not walking right with God? Because a believer that's not walking right with God is called an unbeliever. Because the word believe means to what? Follow. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now what does grace mean? God's plan of escape. Amen? It's not some magical thing. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his plan and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by his plan you've been saved through faith. Does everybody see that? And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. How many of y'all know salvation is a gift? Yeah. But didn't you have to do something to get it? What did you have to do? You had to repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a part of the plan of salvation, right? It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's called cooperation. So you and I cooperate with God's plan. We're in grace. When we stop cooperating with his plan, we fall from grace. Verse 10, read it with me. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should what? Walk in them. Therefore, remember that once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by which is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now you're in Christ Jesus. You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished it in his flesh, the enmity that is the law of commandments containing the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who were near. Through him we both have access by one Spirit to who? The Father. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1. In verse 18. It says, This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the what? Good warfare. That means diligent, sober, alert, and consistent. You cannot wage warfare without being alert and consistent. In other words, warfare is being alert and being consistent. So every day you warfare. Amen? Verse 19, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, has suffered shipwreck. In other words, there are those who became lazy, complacent, and compromising, and they gave up their warfare. In other words, if you're not in a battle, you become a what? Casualty. Amen. And this casualty means somebody gets put out of position of fulfilling God's will. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with what? Godliness, he is what? Proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come what? Envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such what? Withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In other words, because of the love of money, they put money first before God's will. And they may be Christians and love God, but they're still putting money before God. That means they're still living in the kingdom of self. See, you and I must be sold out. S-O-U-L-E-D. Sold out. And I want to close at Revelation 19. Now the battle belongs to the Lord. Does everybody understand that? But how does he battle? Through me and you. That's how he battles. Revelation 19. In verse 19. Let's speak this together. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathering together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Who's that? Jesus and who else? Me and you. Hallelujah. Then the beast was what? Captured. And with him the false prophets. Are we going to see this? Oh, we will. Who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. And you and I will see it because we are in the army of the Lord. Again, this is a reality. We must begin to act like a soldier and fight like a warrior. Amen? No wimps. Warriors, boldness. Stand for truth no matter what. Expose, remove the darkness in you. Take hold and take dominion over those things that cause you to stumble. Stir yourself up and fight. Because if you're not in a battle, you will become a casualty. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, the seed that's been imparted here tonight, I apply the blood of Jesus and I ask, Lord, that it would grow and bear fruit. And Lord, that reality, that this your message tonight, this training session, this time, will continue to flourish in us and grow in us. And that more and more reality will come and come as we begin to see the things that are hidden and they become seen to us. Lord, that we take no offense of anyone or anything, but we stand before you as servants of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the army, and as soldiers and warriors, as freedom fighters, those who are not concerned about a name or a face, but exalt your name and declare your face. Lord, I pray blessing over each and every one here tonight, and I'm just asking, Lord, that you'll visit your people, that you'll stir them up, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll heal their bodies, that you'll heal their minds, and that you'll take hold of their heart, and that they'd be willing to exchange their life for yours, that you may be glorified all the days in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Be blessed.